Amen. I can't explain to you how valuable it is for my spirit to see each and every one of you here today. And I just want to thank you for being here. Devin, do you hear that monitor hum? Okay. I want to begin this morning a little differently in that it's just a reminder today that we believe in healing. Did you know we believe in healing? Amen? Yes, we depend on it. We are on a trajectory of disintegration in this world affected by sin. Sin disintegrates. God brings wholeness. Amen? We may not experience complete physical wholeness until we get our new bodies, but we believe that God intervenes on our behalf, sometimes physically, bringing healing. Let me just read to you from a statement of faith. It says, we believe in the Bible doctrine of divine healing and urge our people to seek to offer the prayer of faith for the healing of the sick. We also believe God heals through means of medical science, which of course is an extension of his hands and feet. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to a passage of scripture that has everything to do with the healing hands of Jesus. Mark chapter 7. I too want to welcome you who are joining us online this morning. And for those of you who are joining us from North Carolina or North Dakota this morning, you're probably going to have a hard time getting to the missionary service tonight. But you're going to be missing some great stuff. For the rest of us, we can get there. Or, remember, we have a swimming party out at Dan and Shelley's. And that's going to be awesome. That's at 4 o'clock, and there's a potluck there. That's a great opportunity to invite newcomers to the faith, newcomers to the church. And I hope that you can do that. Another option for you tonight is at 5 o'clock, we're going to be meeting out at the Lost Lake Church to be sharing a potluck together at 5 o'clock and getting to meet the Thompsons, who are missionaries from Papua New Guinea. And they will be joining us at 5 o'clock for dinner, and then we'll be having a service with them, a deputation service at 6 o'clock, which means it's an opportunity for us to engage in support and help them accomplish the work that God has at their hands to do. We're all in this together, amen? That means that we're partnering with Baptists, it means we're partnering with Lutherans, it means we're partnering with Assemblies of God to get the work done, amen? And his work goes, he can just work through us all if we're willing to let him do that. So Mark chapter 7 today, verses 31 through 37. And Devin, I'm going to have you turn that monitor down just a little bit more. I'm still getting some feedback up here on the stage. Thank you so much. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to say, to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement, saying, He has done everything well. They said he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. None of us really know and realize how many times God has extended his hand on behalf of our protection. I like the story that happened on Christmas Eve in 1875. The famous songwriter Ira Sankey was traveling on a steamboat in the Delaware River and was asked to sing a hymn. When one of the other passengers heard Ira sing, he asked Ira if he had ever served in the Union Army. And in fact, Ira said, I did, yes. The stranger asked, is it possible that you were on picket duty on a bright moonlit night in 1862? And Ira said, yes, it's possible. And yes, I was there. And the passenger replied, so did I. I was too, but I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself, that fellow will never get out of here alive. I raised my musket and took aim. At that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and started to sing. And I thought, I'll let him sing till the end of the song. I said to myself, I can shoot him after the song. But the song you sang then was the same song you just sang now. I heard the words perfectly. Those words stirred up many memories in my soul. I began to think of my childhood. I began to think of my God-fearing mother. She sang that song to me when I was a child. When you finished singing your song, it was impossible for me to take aim again. I thought, the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty. And my right arm of its own accord dropped limp at my side. The song the soldier heard that night, the song that Ira sang, is the song that saved Ira's life. It was a song that we have sung and become familiar with. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. It was the hand of God that delivered Ira Sankey that night. He just got a little glimpse of God's protection, amen? And we may not get that glimpse all the time, but I think it's a reality that we can acknowledge today. Amen? Whether we see it or not, we do not live by faith, by sight, but we live by faith, acknowledging his hand. Our scripture today in Mark chapter 7, Mark is taking us to a time when Jesus is healing. Now, last week we talked about Jesus' interaction with the Syrophoenician woman, and it was a little bit, well, it was steeped in Jewish context, because you remember it was Jesus interacting with a woman who was seeking him for her child and healing, and Jesus said, it's not right for me to cast the bread to the dogs while my little children go hungry. And of course, that was all about Jesus mentoring his disciples and mentoring the Jewish people that he had been called to share the good news with, first and foremost. And then through Paul the Apostle, ministry began to the Gentiles. That's us. This morning, Mark is careful to bring us to a point of realization that Jesus continues his work, and part of his work is healing in the lives of people. Notice in our scripture this morning whose faith Jesus responded to. It says that there were some people there in verse 32 that brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. That's not the first time that Jesus has responded to people other than the person he was going to heal directly. In fact, you remember that instance, and it's recorded in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, of course, is a little atypical of the other three, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke record a time that there was a man who was paralyzed, and his friends wanted to bring him to Jesus for healing. And because there were so many people surrounding Jesus in that house that day, his friends, the paralytic's friends, took him up on the roof and began to dig through the roof. Luke says they removed the tiles. And they dug through. Mark says they dug through as though it was a thatch roof. But the bottom line is they brought this man and set him directly in front of Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus recognized the faith of the guys that brought their friend to Jesus. I think that's powerful. Amen. I think that's a powerful truth to help us remember the value and importance of bringing our friends to Jesus through prayer. I'm sure that your family is not atypical of most families, and that is we've got families that there are members of our maybe biological or friendship circle that need to know Jesus. Suffering from the ailments of sin and the disintegration that happens when sin takes hold in a life and bad decisions are made and things start to fall apart. And we pray as we bring them to Jesus for their healing. Amen. I think it's important that we remember that we have a role in helping people come to Jesus. We don't bring them to salvation. Only Jesus can do that, but we do bring them to Jesus. Amen. That's our role. Don't forget to pray for our friends and family, and keep on keeping on praying for our friends and family. It's so encouraging to me to remember that Christ honors the faith of just ordinary guys, men and women, boys and girls, when we bring our friends to Jesus. He honors that faith. It's as though we're a part of a divine intervention. It's as though we're a part of God's family getting together and saying, Jesus, would you come and lay your hands on my brother? Would you come and lay your hands on my sister? Would you come and lay your hands on my friend? He needs healing. And we get on our knees and we ask God to bring about his healing on behalf of our loved ones. Let's not give up praying. I don't know what's happening in the heavenly realms when we pray, but I've seen in Scripture that God honors those prayers. Oh, the hands of Christ. He is our great physician. The Bible tells us that power flowed from his hands. Strength flowed from them when he healed people. He performed miracles not usually in mass, but individually. This man is no different. Instead of looking at just the faith of the friends of this man, he came and engaged this man personally, and I would say very intimately, when you realize what he did. But in small and personal ways, Jesus' hands set right what has been disrupted in creation since the fall of Adam. in the movie Forrest Gump. How many of you have seen the movie Forrest Gump? Oh, everybody. Forrest's lifelong friend, Jenny, had endured a childhood of abuse and neglect at the hands of her father. In one scene, Forrest and Jenny visit her old house where abuse after abuse took place, neglect. And Forrest watches as Jenny throws stone after stone at the house. If we have that video, let's play that.
The quiet. Rain. Sometimes I guess there just aren't enough rocks.
Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. It's a profound look into the human soul that seeks to deal with the deep problem of brokenness and hurts, of being injured. Through no cause of our own, we seek to deal with injury and illness in various ways. And as Jenny, sometimes we are prone to take up rocks of unforgiveness or rocks of accusation or rocks of a grudge and continue to throw them until we are out of energy or out of rocks. Our scripture this morning reminds us there's a better way to deal with our hurts, our injuries, our offenses. Jesus administers his healing. We live in a sin, sick, hurting world that desperately needs the touch of Jesus. As the church, we are the friends that people bring to Jesus for healing. In the miracle we're looking at today, Jesus took this man aside. Did you see that in Scripture? After the friends brought him to Jesus, Jesus took him aside, away from the others. It reminds me that no matter how hard we pray for our friends and family, Jesus will still offer a personal interface, a personal moment, a intervention one-on-one with him. You see, my faith can bring people to Jesus, but it's Jesus that saves. It's Jesus that must appear that moment to that sick and hurting individual, you and me at times. And as we experience his wholeness, you and me as the church, bringing the injured and the hopeless and the hurting. Jesus took him aside and got personal. That's why we believe in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every one of us will have that time if we will receive it. That's a powerful fact of Scripture, that Jesus seeks to minister to us individually at our point of need. Jesus used his hands. I want you to put yourself in the shoes or sandals of the deaf and mute man for a moment. You couldn't hear all of the conversation, and you couldn't really verbalize your opposition to the shuffling of you to this man that other people were surrounding. But you consented because you trusted your friends. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes to you and he takes his fingers. Skylar, would you be my guy this morning? And Jesus coming to him, you got to wonder what I'm getting ready to do, don't you? Yeah, you do. Jesus comes, you just got to read the scripture. That's how the story ends. But he comes to him and he licks his fingers. No, he doesn't lick his fingers yet. But would you mind if I licked my fingers and stuck them in your ear? Yeah. So Jesus comes to him and he sticks his fingers in his ears. And then Jesus spits, and presumably, though it's not written out, presumably he spits in his hand and then puts his finger in it and touches his tongue. I'm not going to ask you to do that. That's a little bit too close, right? A little bit too intimate. But here's the reality. Healing begins when we allow Jesus to get just that intimate with us, into our lives, that we're like, Jesus, you've crossed where I'm comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with you doing, okay, I'll let you. It's that barrier that we put up for our own protection, our own safety. It's our defense mechanisms that we've learned from protecting ourselves from being hurt. But it's faith when we realize that with Jesus, we don't have to throw the rocks and we don't have to put up the defense. We're just going to let Jesus do and be who he is. Amen, Doug? If it's very uncomfortable for us, it's our problem, because we need desperately his healing. We are not in a position to say, no, don't do that. Amen? Don't put your fingers in my ears. Don't take that out of my life. Don't touch me. Don't go there. And he does. And that's where healing begins. Have you ever noticed that at the deepest point of your need, your mind probably races back to the time when you were hurt the most? And it comes up every time when there's a need in your life, and you have to remind yourself, I gave that to Jesus. He's administering help and healing there. But it still comes up, doesn't it? And the devil offers you an opportunity to hold a grudge, to pick it up one more time, and to create a barrier and a defense so that you'll not be hurt again. But Jesus is seeking to bring help and healing in every area that has been affected by that injury or offense as we live. As Christians, we have the opportunity to receive his work in our lives by faith. He used his hands. That's pretty personal. He looked up into heaven and with a deep sigh said, "Be opened," and his tongue was loosed and he was able to speak freely. I have a sense that not being able to hear is to speaking as not being able to smell is to tasting. Have you ever had a really bad cold and you were thinking, I'm ready to eat, I'm hungry, and you get this luscious meal in front of you, and all the family members are going, "Oh, Mom, this is really awesome." And you're like, "It's not real good. I mean, it needs more salt. It needs more pepper. It needs more hot stuff. It needs, because it just tastes less. I can't, in fact, can't taste it." Because your sinuses are stopped up. And the two senses are inextricably linked together. So when Jesus opened the man's ears, the man could then talk, because he was now able to monitor how he sounded. Amen? He was able to hear himself speak as Jesus began to minister his healing in every area of the man's life. The man's monitors had been turned back on. Just like we have monitors here, for those of you who are do anything with monitors and sound systems and things, you realize that if you can't hear yourself through the monitors and all the sound is coming out the speakers, you can't, you have no idea if you can, if you're on tune or not, or on key or off pitch, and it's hard. You need to have a sound coming back to you that tells you this is how you sound so that you can adjust. You know, in the world today that we live in, we are surrounded by monitors other than Jesus. And don't get me wrong, some of the monitors that we are surrounded with are very well-intentioned. Friends that say, you ought to be doing this, and then things will get better. Monitors of the definition of success. It says you could be spending your time doing this, but if you really wanted to be successful, you will spend your time doing this. And you know, sometimes, even in this self-help culture that we live in, we can begin to rely on ourselves to tell us what we need to do to get better. But can I remind us this morning that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our monitor. We listen to the voice of Jesus. We listen to His words. We look at His actions to see if what we have done and what we have said and the expressions on our faces match Him, so that we can come to Him. Amen? If you're like me, every night I do a replay, an instant replay of everything that happened that day. My mind goes back to every interaction in the barbershop. It goes back to every interaction with people in ministry, and texts and phone calls and people face to face. And the Holy Spirit monitors back to me. And I hear the gentle conviction of the Spirit that says that attitude really didn't reflect the optimism of Jesus as Lord. John, why don't you go back and work on that? Why don't you go back and fix that conversation with that individual and remind them that you really do have faith that God's going to bring us through this. Amen? John, that voice intonation really didn't reflect compassion. You kind of hid your own little dig in there, didn't you, John? Oh, you said the words, but you put a dig in there, didn't you? I'm like, yeah, I did. Now that I hear it back to me, I did. You see, the Holy Spirit seeks to help us be like Jesus. Amen? Our healing comes from being more like Jesus and not more like our sinful self stuck in dilemmas. Scripture says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh and what the flesh desires, but those who live accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And 1 John 2:20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth." I've said some things that were a little off. And the Holy Spirit comes back around and he plays it back to me. And part of my healing is remembering that Jesus is going to say, "John, would you be my hands and feet?" "Yes, Lord. Would you be my hands and feet and voice and attitude and action? John, would everything that you do, would you allow me to just flow through you? Would you allow me to reflect my glory through you so that when people see you, John, they're just really seeing me?" Holy Spirit, be our monitor. Be what we hear that we rise to in our attitudes and actions and reflections of Jesus. May they reflect your glory in everything that we do. Jesus brought this man to wholeness because this man had friends that brought him to Jesus. Oh, we're so interconnected. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we are the body. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given this one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And then verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it." That means as Jesus extended healing through his hands, we now have become the hands and feet of Jesus, the church, to administer his help and healing in every area of life. It's a profound, awesome task that he's given us to do that we cannot do in our own strength. Thank you for your faithful attendance, for your faithful giving, for your faithful encouragement. On behalf of those who are seeking to know who Jesus is, we are the church. Amen. We have this high privilege of being the hands and feet of Jesus, his body. Wholeness. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full," bringing restoration in every area of life. I'd like to invite our worship team to come. Jesus brings wholeness and he brings holiness. As the healing hands of Jesus, these hands that extended healing to people were now stretched out on a Roman cross. Hands, holy hands, healing hands pierced with Roman nails. If anybody had a chance or an opportunity or a reason to hold a grudge, it would be Jesus. But instead, he offers us a different way. "Father, forgive them," he said, "for they know not what they do." Holiness, ultimate purity, ultimate rightness. It's mind-blowing to think that Jesus would give us this task and this blessing of wholeness, to be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So our attitudes reflect that of Jesus. Instead of throwing rocks of unforgiveness and pain and retribution. Jesus asks us to extend forgiveness. Unforgiveness means that we desire to hurt the people who have wounded us. It's like the little boy who was sitting on a park bench in obvious agony. A man walking by asked him, "What was wrong?" The boy said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee." The man asked him, "Why didn't he get up?" The boy replied, "Because I figure that I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me." The healing process begins when we get up off the bench and do what Jesus did. And with the holy hands of Jesus, offer healing as Jesus offered. Our world is dying for it. Our world, to a great measure, has not experienced compassion and forgiveness and unconditional love. May the church rise to what we've been created to be. The people responded at the end. They said, "He's done everything well." He has done everything well. Healing begins as we allow Jesus to get really personal, to cross some sacred territory in our life, to get way into the nitty-gritty. And administer his healing there that begins with forgiveness. Wow. Each of you have stories, I'm sure, that would be too painful to verbalize this morning. But you know what I'm talking about. Healing begins as we listen to the monitor of the Holy Spirit that says, "Jason," as we replay that. "John," as we replay that. "Jay," as we replay that. Event, your responses, your attitudes, how does that reflect me? And sometimes it's, "I did my best, Lord," and Jesus says, "Good job." And then sometimes it's, "Well, you could have done this. Just look at Mark chapter 7, John. Oh, yeah. I'll go back and make that right. And I'll try to do better." It's that intention that's holy and made perfect. Jesus begins as we begin. Healing begins as we do what Jesus does. Forgive, heal, and restore. I was reading this morning about being a curator. I'm going to talk more about this next week. But we are curators. Let that sink in for a little bit. We are curators, bringing the grace of God into lives. As children came forward to receive communion one Sunday, one new little girl looked up at the plate of bread prepared in small pieces to be dipped into the cup. This is written by a United Methodist pastor. She looked up at me in the eye and asked, "Can I take more than one? I really need it this week." Yes. And she took a handful. Your spirit may be saying this morning, can I take more than one? I really need it this week. Yes. Take as much as you need. Don't worry about the symbolism. Don't worry about the ritual. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ is enough, amen? Let's sing that together. Before we sing, let's stand as we pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for offering to administer your healing in our lives. And what a blessing it is to turn that healing outward. That as we are healed, as we are your hands and feet, we too can administer through the power of the Holy Spirit this grace of love and unforgiveness, love and forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that we can give what we have received: compassion, grace, mercy. Thank you for this high calling and high privilege. And thank you for the gift of your healing. We let you in. Father, in this moment of intimacy, I pray that the barriers that we have put up to let you only come so far, we would take them down this morning and let you administer your healing at the point of our deepest, most profound injury. And may we experience your healing and experience the joy of what that does as we live out our lives as the body of Christ, functioning in wholeness and holiness. We praise you and thank you. Forgive us for the rocks we have thrown. Forgive us for the insults we have hurled. Forgive us for the barriers we have set up to keep people at a safe distance. And administer your help and healing right here, right now. Be the healing rain. We welcome your touch in our lives through your holy hands. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Yep. God bless your week. You are dismissed.